Stephanie Rubel from the Stanford Alumni Association. I'd like to welcome our listeners to our third book of the 2015-2016 book salon season, Wolf Hall by Hilary Mantel. Today I'm sitting down with Paula Moya, professor of English and by courtesy of Iberian and Latin American culture, who selected this book for our community. Thanks so much for joining us today.
I'm very glad to be here.
Paula, will you give me a little insight into what your research focuses on?
Sure. I usually focus on 20th century and early 21st century literary studies, feminist theory, critical and narrative theories, American cultural studies, interdisciplinary approaches to race and ethnicity, and Chicano and U.S. Latino studies.
Perfect. And then it looks like you have a few books out also, The Social Imperative, Race, Close Reading, and Contemporary Literary Criticism and Learning from Experience, Minority Identities, Multicultural Struggles. And you've also co-edited three collections of original essays, Doing Race, 21 Essays for the 21st Century, Identity Politics Reconsidered, and Reclaiming Identity, Realist Theory and the Predicament of Postmodernism.
Yes.
You have quite a few books there. So can you tell us what prompted you to select Wolf Hall?
Well, I think when you asked me to do this, I was thinking about what books I really enjoyed reading that I thought a wide audience might also enjoy. And immediately what came to mind was Hilary Mantel's Wolf Hall, as well as her follow-up book, Bring Up the Bodies. So both of them were Booker Prize winners. And that's initially why I read them in the first place. And I was just taken by the fact that she had two novels, that one was a sequel to the next, and both of them were Booker Prize winners. And I just thought, well, there must be something special about these. And so I picked it up and read it and just found it to be extremely well written, very interesting. It opened my eyes to a sort of moment in history that I don't spend a lot of time thinking about. And so, yeah, that's pretty much why I picked it.
Great. And then can you single out some issues that you think our readers might find interesting to discuss in Wolf Hall?
Well, you know, it's sort of hard to figure out what other people will find interesting, so probably it'd be easier for me to tell you what I found interesting. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I found interesting is that I realized that it is a sympathetic character study of the historical figure of Thomas Cromwell. So Thomas Cromwell was not somebody that in my knowledge of that time period, which was, of course, Henry VIII, that I had ever thought of as a sympathetic character. And so for her to make him sympathetic to me and to do such a good job of it, it made me think about why. And part of that is that his antagonist, it's antagonist probably both in real life and certainly in the novel, is Sir Thomas More. And so I'd always had this very good impression of Sir Thomas More. Sir Thomas More doesn't come off so well in this novel. Or, you know, it's a historical novel. So I just was appreciative of the skill, the writerly skill that allowed her to do this. And it made me think again about the fact that there are always multiple perspectives on any given situation.
Oh, perfect. That's sounds great. And then will you talk to us about what your favorite part in the book is and why?
I think my favorite part in the book is related to what I was just talking about. So it starts out with a depiction of Thomas Cromwell beaten, laying on the ground, bloodied, and he's actually right in the middle of a beating. His father has come up from behind him, hit him on the head, and is really, really brutally beating him. And so we get that, but it's all focalized from Thomas's perspective, so that it's as if we are laying on the ground with him, and we see the thread from his father's boots. We see the father, like, you know, running back to kick him. And, you know, of course, our sympathy is going to be with the person who's in that situation. So we have that set up. And then we have his sister come and doctor him up. And he basically takes off. And then the narrative jumps 27 years into the future. And about 27 years into the future. And at this point, he's now working for Cardinal Wolsey, who is at that point the main advisor to King Henry VIII. So right away we get into that historical era. But there's a scene between Cardinal Wolsey and Thomas Cromwell where Hilaire Mantel does something that I think does a lot to bring her reader in and make her reader sympathetic to him. And basically, I don't know how long we have on this, whether I could read a passage. Is that possible?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so let me just... Okay. I'd like to read this passage because I think it gives a sense of how she... All right, so he's in the room. It's a firelit room. It's dark. He's telling the cardinal, he's giving the cardinal some information that the cardinal needs to help administer King Henry VIII's business affairs. And he's got a bit of rumor that he's sort of teasing, and he's teasing the cardinal about whether or not he's going to give him this information. And then this is the passage. Okay, so laughing, the cardinal pushes back his chair, and his shadow rises with him. Firelit, it leaps. His arm darts out, his reach is long, his hand is like the hand of God. But when God closes his hand, his subject is across the room, back to the wall. The cardinal gives ground, his shadow wavers. It wavers and comes to rest. He is still. The wall records the movement of his breath. His head inclines. In a halo of light, he seems to pause, to examine his handful of nothing. He splays his fingers, his giant firelit hand. He places it flat on his desk. It vanishes, melted into the cloth of damask. He sits down again. His head is bowed, his face half dark. He, Thomas, also Tomos, Tommaso, and Tomias Cromwell, withdraws his past selves into his present body and edges back to where he was before. His single shadow slides against the wall, a visitor not sure of his welcome. Which of these Thomases saw the blow coming? There are moments when a memory moves right through you. You shy, you duck, you run, or else the past takes your fist and actuates it without the intervention of will. Suppose you have a knife in your fist. That's how murder happens. He says something. The cardinal says something. They break off. Two sentences go nowhere. The cardinal resumes his chair. He hesitates before him. He sits down. The cardinal says, I really would like the London gossip, but I wasn't planning to beat it out of you. Okay, so that may have been a long passage that may not make much sense, but let me see if I can explain it. Mm-hmm. Basically, they're in this dark room, and as they are talking, the cardinal is laughing, and he stands up. I don't know what he's going to do, but he stands up. He makes a sudden movement, and Thomas reacts to that by basically just jumping up and backing up against the wall. And what we come to understand is that his upbringing, his beating by his father, his fighting his way, his, scrabbling up from nowhere, has led him to develop a way of being in the world that is very much about watching his back. So even though, the likelihood that his cardinal was going to strike him is not great, but he reacted without thinking about it. He reacted just on the basis of his... the sort of schemas that he had developed for living in the world. I found this whole scene so fascinating because this, together with the first opening scene of him being beaten, work together in a very interesting way to build for us a very sympathetic schema for Thomas. So we see in him... the young beaten boy, and we see in him someone who has been at risk. We see his need to protect himself. And in the process, we sort of forgive him for whoever he might have murdered in the past. It's like, well, if he did, it was because he was attacked. There's all these ways in which what we might know of the historical Thomas Cromwell, we're now willing to forgive. Mm-hmm. And so that I just find fascinating, the skill in writing that brings the reader in to make her care about a character. And then, of course, we go on to the next two novels where we're following him. And, you know, he's the hero. And so we like him. And there's something really interesting about that, especially because I don't know if I should take a pause here, but especially because, you know, for me, again, coming into this, having read Sir Thomas More's Utopia, and, you know, just thinking of him as the intellectual and the important figure, and certainly not Thomas Cromwell, to be called to rethink these figures was extremely interesting to me, not least in part because I grew up Catholic. And of course, a big argument, this is a very Protestant book. A big argument about this book is about, it's a very, you know, is about Protestantism, about the rise of Protestantism. And so again, to have Cromwell as a major figure in that, and as somebody who then goes on to affect the course of history in his dealings with King Henry VIII, and the you know, the breaking with the church to create the Church of England, it made me care about all of that in a way that I had never cared about it. And I think when literature can do that, that's really exciting.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I recently was reading an interview, an older interview with Hillary, about how challenged she was to make sure people were in the correct place in her book, yes, in Wolf Hall, that they actually were in history, too.
Right.
And it just all ties in together, so I can't wait to dive in. And then lastly, I wanted to mention to our readers that PBS aired a TV series also called Wolf Hall this past spring, and I wanted to know if you have taken a chance to watch it.
Oh, well, I would have if I had been able to. We were actually teaching in Berlin this spring in the Being Overseas Studies program, and that was a wonderful experience, but I didn't have access to American TV at that time, so which was hard, actually. There were certain series that we were, you know, serials that we were right in the middle of, we couldn't watch, but yes, I look forward to watching that. I think it would be fascinating. I mean, I did develop quite an interest in that whole time period, in you know, Henry VIII's wives and all of that, as a result of reading this novel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that the video or episodes are still available online. So anyone who's listening, or Polly yourself, you can jump on and watch them. Thank you so much for sitting down with us today and introducing us to Wolf Hall.
Okay, well, thank you for having me.